Hey, welcome back to Table Talk, your healthy theological radio diction. And if you're like Pastor Poppy, you're just continuously washing your hands with Purell. That's how fanatical you are.
I wash my hands with tobacco juice that has oozed out of the corner of my mouth from the voluminous cigars that I had, numerous cigars that I've smoked.
I was going to say, I saw him the other day with his lighter out, and he was running his hand back and forth over the flame, so maybe that too.
I am firmly convinced I've started a scientific project, it is my contention that cigar smoke wards off the coronavirus, and I have a test case of one.
You.
Me.
It's called justification of the self.
Self-justification. Exactly. I have a PhD in that.
Join the club. Lord's Supper is pure gift. It's pure gift from the Lord. How do I know that? Because he says so. He gives it to them, and then he says it's for you. And he gives a promise for the forgiveness of your sins. Namely, what I'm winning for you or will win for you on the cross, I'm delivering to you now. And that's the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is the gospel in that sense. And with Roman Catholicism, the Lord's Supper is atonement, and that is why this is an abomination. The Lord's Supper is not the atonement. It does not atone. But that's why you'll see Jesus on the cross when you do the Google image search of the sacrifice of the Mass. So for Roman Catholics, they talk about the real presence, but the real presence is the real presence of an event, Good Friday. And you need to get the ritual, of course, if you follow Odo Cassell, the ritual is what really gets you in on the act of Good Friday, and then this is all connected with the Lord's Supper or the sacrifice of the Mass. Well, now, another mark of the papacy being the Antichrist, and this is where I wanted to go. I mentioned it, and I want to get to it. It's the Second Vatican Council. So as before the Second Vatican Council, you were not saved unless you were Roman Catholic. And that's not an exaggeration either. And then, after the Second Vatican Council, you have an entire reversal. So I'm going to repeat. Before the Second Vatican Council, no one is saved unless you're Roman Catholic.
And that is commonly referred to as the Una Sancta.
Yeah, one holy church.
Yes, and that one holy church is Rome.
Yeah, and you have to be hooked with the Bishop of Rome.
So outside the Roman Catholic Church, there is no salvation. That's what we're talking about. Pre-Vatican II.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm doing this off the top of my head. I think that was actually taught as official Roman Catholic teaching in the First Vatican Council in the 19th century. But I may be wrong on that. So, Adam, look that up while I continue to talk. And we may have to correct that. But that was promoted officially, that outside of the church, and when they say outside of the church, there's no salvation. That's the Roman Catholic Church, namely the one hooked with the Bishop of Rome. I'm not sure I'm right about that date of the First Vatican Council. It might be another time, another church council. Now, so the main point I want to get to here is that with the Second Vatican Council, you have a complete reversal of this, and it's called Anonymous Christianity, which was promoted by the German Roman Catholic theologian by the name of Karl Rahner. Karl Rahner, together with other theologians, were teaching that, you know what? You don't have to believe in Jesus to be saved. You don't even have to be hooked with the Bishop of Rome to be saved. You can be a Christian anonymously. Namely, a Muslim is a Christian anonymously as long as the Muslim lives a pretty decent life. Now, I'm just generalizing here to make the point. A Hindu, Karl Rahner and his associates would say, that a Hindu is a Christian anonymously, even though they don't even know who Jesus is, don't even believe in the triune God, but as long as they live a pretty decent life and try their best, they're a Christian. This was called Anonymous Christianity, which now teaches what? That everybody goes to
heaven, paradise.
Yeah, so all roads lead to heaven. And this is another mark, I think one of the signs and wonders that Paul speaks about in 2 Thessalonians of why then the papacy is the Antichrist. When you deny that Jesus alone is the Savior, and it's only by faith in Him that you're the Savior, or that you're saved, pardon me, when you deny that, this is Antichrist. This is why then Pope Francis recently, within the last year or two, talked about God's will is for plurality. Plurality, which is all in the way of the Second Vatican Council.
The teaching, and I was pretty sure on this, and I didn't want to say it. although I would have been vindicated and right. The teaching that outside the Roman Catholic Church there is no salvation predates Vatican I.
Was this the Fourth Vatican Council?
No, this was laid down in a...
Lateran Council, I want to
This was laid down in a papal bull issued by Pope Boniface VIII on 18 November 1302.
Thank you.
That's where the terminology unum sanctum comes from, and it is in that papal bull where the official infallible doctrine of outside the Roman Catholic, and he did it to try to unite factions, but outside the Roman Catholic Church, there is no salvation.
Thank you for that clarification.
Okay.
And Vatican II then does change that with its document Unitatis Redintegratio, which calls for reunion of Christendom, not in the sense that it does not focus on the unity of people of God, rather by insisting that they're underneath the Pope, but rather that there are serious problems in that unity and that we ought to still just get along and be friendly and, kumbaya with one another.
This is illustrated in two ways that I'll just simply mention. Pope John Paul II, as well as Pope Francis, when they have met with prominent imams, what's the first thing they do in the presence of the imam? They kiss the Quran.
I was going to say, do they bow, but kissing the Quran.
Yes, there you both go. Popes kiss the Quran. Now, normally Roman Catholics kiss the scriptures, the Bible. When you go to a Roman Catholic service, they kiss the Bible. Why? Because that's the Word of God. So the reverence for the Word of God is illustrated in the ceremony of kissing it. Well, when a pope kisses the Quran, that illustrates something. It illustrates the Second Vatican teaching that we don't believe what Pope Boniface said anymore. Now we teach that anybody's going to go to heaven. And you can learn from the Quran, the God's Word. The Quran actually teaches you God's Word and God's will. You see how this worked? This is Antichrist. What was the other thing I was going to mention? I lost it. You guys want to pick this up while my dementia quits here? Oh, the Amazon Synod. Do you remember the Amazon Synod here just recently, gentlemen? Held in Rome? Amazon Synod meaning you have the South American bishops who come to Rome, and they want to promote certain things. And so, what was expected is that the Amazon bishops, they want women to be priests, as well as other things. Priests can be married. That's another issue. And, of course, that they thought they were going to get their way in Rome on that. But here's the kicker.
You also have the native Amazonian animism, spiritism, worship of pantheism kind of stuff.
Yes, so when the Amazon bishops, it's called the Amazon Synod, this group of bishops were going to push, and they actually set up pagan idols, and they were worshipped. Read this, get online, Google it, and worship and see this. And so faithful Roman Catholics in Rome took these things down, these idols, and they threw them in the Tiber, got rid of them. But
good for them.
But did the Pope? The Pope didn't. He didn't say throw them in the river.
He didn't object to the adoration or the symbolism of this. It's very, very telling, and it's very sad, very sad.
Well, this is why we say that the papacy fits the bill of 2 Thessalonians 2, Antichrist. Okay, I'm just saying these things to give people some context.
The Amazon Synod, by the way, the way that it weaseled its way into the church then was we have to have new ways to reach these people, and that's always something we have to be very cautious about, is when somebody says there's a new way to reach people that's not word or sacrament as is taught in the scriptures. We ought to be really cautious of that.
Absolutely. That's euphemism.
Yes.
That's euphemism for we're going to deny the uniqueness of Christ. We are going to deny the uniqueness of the Holy Trinity. And so it really doesn't matter which God you believe in. But just as long, now here's what they'll never give up. But you still have to be hooked somehow to the Bishop of Rome, formally. So it's not necessarily doctrine that is uniting there, but it's just simply a formal, what's the right polity that you follow. Right? This is another thing to observe. is that you can essentially believe anything you want in the Roman Catholic Church. Are you aware of this? As long as you are hooked with the Bishop of Rome. And that's no joke. You can be a flat-out denier of the Trinity and teach at Notre Dame.
Isn't he the distributor of the merits of Christ, the holder of the treasure that Christ has earned? I mean, that would make sense. As long as he gives it to you, you're in good shape.
But see, to a certain extent, that's irrelevant, generally speaking. My point is, again, yes, there would be some Roman Catholics who would be very concerned about that, but on the other hand, the Roman Catholic Church tolerates so much false doctrine and so many divisive teachings and false teachings. But the point is you can do that and still be in good standing as long as you agree with the polity. The polity. And
And that's nothing new, because Luther was offered a cardinal's hat. They were not primarily concerned with the teaching or whatever. We'll buy him off, we'll give him the cardinal's hat, and then put him off in some corner, and he can write his books, and we'll just forget about him. And so, nothing new under the sun.
Right.
It's a very, very sad, sad commentary on, once proud tradition.
Yeah. Just a couple other points here to just illustrate this all the more as we run out of time on this segment, this program, is, when you allow philosophy to run theology, that's troublesome. And I'm talking about pagan philosophy to a certain extent, from Plato and Aristotle. Just do a study, folks, about how Plato and Aristotle's philosophical teachings have influenced the Western Church as well as the Eastern Church. And that's problematic. That's why Paul says in one of his letters in the New Testament, do not be captivated by philosophy. An example of this would be to say that Mary is the co-redeemer. Now, Pope John Paul II fully believed that Mary is the co-redeemer, the co-redemptrix. I fully expected him to make that official teaching. That's still teaching in the Roman Catholic Church. They just haven't made it official. Most Roman Catholics believe that Mary is the co-redeemer. That's pagan teaching. That's paganism.
I believe you see that when John Paul II died, on his coffin there was a cross with an M right next to it.
Yeah, that was his seal. That was always his seal.
So
yeah, and that's because he truly believed that Mary is the co-redeemer, which meant that he denied the clear teaching of Scripture from 1 Timothy 2 that there is only one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. For Pope John Paul II, there was another mediator. It was Mary. Mary. Okay. So now don't misunderstand what I'm saying here and what we're trying to say here. Are we saying that if you're Roman Catholic, you're going to go to hell? No. But what we are saying is that the papacy fulfills what Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians of being the man of sin or the man of lawlessness. Okay? And this will continue until the end of time, until Jesus returns in glory and he destroys this with the breath of his mouth.
Believe the word of God, search the word of God, question your pastor or your priest, and find out how this, whatever's going on, is connected to the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus for you for forgiveness, life, and salvation. God wants you to be certain of your salvation, not in doubt. And too often, that's what comes in that system.
Yeah, that was part of the Reformation, is you monster of uncertainty, which is another whole program. We got to say goodbye, folks. Stay Lutheran, my friends.